You find someone that says, I'm a Christian, and they live like a devil. And you say, well, if you're a Christian, why do you live this way? And then they turn on you. Let them turn. Don't be upset by that. Ooh, my feelings are hurt. He turned on me. He snapped at me. He hurt my feelings. You see further than they do. You see eternity. You see their soul heading in the wrong direction. And you try to say, turn this thing around. And they scream at you for doing it. Be patient. Be loving.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Today, Pastor Rick teaches that as Jesus was teaching, there was a man possessed by a demon. The demon cried out to Jesus and said, "Let us alone," but Jesus didn't listen. Instead, he was patient and purposeful. Do you have someone in your life that is making choices that doesn't please God? Just like Jesus, be patient, loving, and purposeful. They need to hear what you have to say. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verse 31 with today's study.
Good morning and welcome to the house of the Lord. And if you are listening online, good morning to you also. If you have your Bibles, let's open to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4. We will resume verse 31. I will read through the end of the chapter from verse 31 to verse 34, as soon as I can turn there. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick, various diseases, brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. The crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. It's very difficult to read that and not want to comment when you stand before people and you're about to comment. And so let the preaching begin. Verse 31, where he goes down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee. This is Luke finishing up his introduction to the Son of God. The next chapter, which really gets exciting. Not that the others have not been, but it just takes another direction. The introduction is done, and we begin getting to many of the stories and parables. And so here Jesus is in Capernaum. He made his headquarters there early in his ministry. He says down to Capernaum. Well, he's coming from Nazareth. Nazareth is in the mountains, where Capernaum is down at the shore of Galilee. It is, the sea level of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. It's pretty deep. In fact, it belongs to the Dead Sea Depression. From Galilee down, or a little bit further north of Galilee, where the Jordan starts, down to the Dead Sea, the lowest surface on the face of the earth. The Dead Sea is 1,400 feet below sea level. And so it's a kind of remarkable fact about these things. Galilee is the lowest freshwater lake in the world. And the only lake lower is the Dead Sea, which is all salt water. You can't drown in the Dead Sea, well, not easily. I mean, you just lay back and you float and try to keep the water out of your eyes. According to Josephus, the Jewish historian, there were 240 cities or villages around this area. He said, that's kind of boring. I don't need to know that. Oh, you do need to know that. There's 3 million people in that area getting the word of Christ from Christ himself. Jesus went where the people were. Not always. Sometimes he'd take a detour. In fact, on his way to this region, he went through Samaria, and there he met the woman at the well. In verse 32, it says, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. So they said, finally, one spoke God's word to them instead of man's word about things with a side order of the Bible, just to keep them interested. Sadly, it goes on today, to this very day. There are authors, they write books, and they throw through scripture verses in there, and the Christians just gobble it. Okay, it's a script, it's a Bible. You know, you put Jesus' name on it, it's got to be okay. You better beware. Well, he did not ever favorably quote the religious establishment of his day. Not because he was obnoxious, but because they had moved away from their own scripture. They were in the habit of quoting rabbi. They would quote what the rabbi said about the rabbi who said about the rabbi. It was a rabbi trail. Anyway, verse 33. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. Now, as I was reading that, an unclean demon, what's the difference? Well, one showers and the other doesn't. Of course, Luke is making it clear that these are spiritual beings, and these are not friendly. These are not right. They are evil. Now, they're in the synagogue. We would say the church, where the righteous assemble, to hear the word of God, to pray to God, to rejoice in his presence. The demon in the church. And it took the presence of the Lord to flush him out, to bring him to the surface. No one else knew this guy was demon. Not right, doesn't shower, but you know he had a demon. Evidently, he behaved himself until now. And so that we find these demons attending the assembly of the righteous is instructive for us. That's why the Lord has the Bible for us. That's why it washes and cleanses. That's why it's living and powerful. It deals with things that we might overlook or otherwise try to escape. The demon will interrupt the service with a scream. That's why it says, and he cried out with a loud voice. The presence of Jesus was just too much. Verse 34, we find out what he says. He's cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Could you imagine being with Jesus, one of the disciples? And you go to the synagogue as you have always gone since childhood, and this happens.
I'll be outside, Lord. If you need me,
just try to do without me. Satan wants to be left alone. That's what he says. Let us alone. He wants to be left alone. Not to keep to himself because people are irritating, because he wants to do harm to human beings. He wants to do harm in the universe. And he wants to be free to do it. He wants to be respected because the demons speak the same mind as Satan himself, Lucifer himself. But he doesn't want to respect anybody else. Unfortunately, we witness this in our life. You live, stick around long enough, it becomes more clear as you age. The unbelieving Jews had said the same thing to Moses. Exodus chapter 14. Now this is after Moses gets them out. Well, first, you know the story. Moses goes to the Jews. The Lord has called me to deliver you out of Egypt. And the little pressure comes on them. And they said, you know, why don't you just leave this alone? Leave the Pharaoh alone. Now it's harder on us. We've got to make more brick. And anyway, the story goes on. Moses finally gets them out. And as they're out, Pharaoh is pursuing them. That's the pressure of the story. And this is what they say to Moses. Not all of them, just the unrighteous ones. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They would rather die as slaves than die free men in the desert. This, especially in America, should be something that strikes a chord with us. We can identify with Moses and the freedom God was giving them. We can understand that we do not want our freedom taken away, but this is what the demons do, and they want to be free to do it. And so these are the words of those who claim to be Christians while trampling what Christ has said. Those were the Jews. They were claiming to be children of Abraham, children of faith, covenant people. God had a covenant with Abraham. We're his descendants. We just don't want what God wants. That's all. Just leave us alone. They lash out at true believers when rebuked for their mockery of Scripture, for their mockery of what God has been doing in their lives. They do it to this day. You find someone that says, I'm a Christian, and they live like a devil. And you say, well, if you're a Christian, why do you live this way? And then they turn on you. Let them turn. Don't be upset by that. Oh, my feelings are hurt. He turned on me. He snapped at me. He hurt my feelings. You see further than they do. You see eternity. You see their soul heading in the wrong direction. And you try to say, turn this thing around. And they scream at you for doing it. Be patient. Be loving. So you'd rather be left alone. That's what you want to say. You don't thank me or anybody else for telling you the truth. As Paul said, because I tell you the truth, am I now your enemy? And yet the devil within you cries out, as it did to the Son of God on that day, let us alone, because I tell you the truth. Let us alone. Don't torment me with the truth. And he goes on to say, what have we to do with you? The answer is absolutely nothing. That's the Lord's answer to the devil. Now, when the world or those pseudo-Christians turn and say, listen, leave me alone. I'm not bothering you. If you don't want to bother me, then drop Christian from your title, and it won't be a bother. It'll be no problem. He says, Jesus of Nazareth. This is irreverent. Where is the Lord? Where is Lord Jesus of Nazareth? Because he is still Lord of all creation, of all the universe. He came to destroy the works of the devil when he first came. And he did that as far as the souls of men are concerned. John tells us that in 1 John chapter 3. At his second coming, he will destroy the workers of the devil, those who are firmly self-worthy. Beware of that. I'm worth it. You know, our word worship comes from worth, self-worship. I'm self-righteous. I don't need a Savior. I'm doing fine. Jesus likes me. After all, I'm a good guy. I haven't gone to jail recently, or whatever the story is. They're comparing themselves with themselves. That's not the standard God will judge men by. And we are here to preach this, if we do not get entangled with other things. He says, I know who you are. And so here is the demon who betrays that he is alarmed by the presence of Christ, by his crying out. How is it that this demon recognized him? How could he make this statement unless he had prior knowledge of him? He knew who he was because Jesus is the Creator. And it is a tragedy that demons show up in church and the people in the church don't even recognize them. Will even come to their defense if the church begins to deal with them. It was Jesus who tossed this rebellious creature out of heaven. And this is the message that we preach. In fact, years later, as the apostles are preaching the word, the word is getting around and people are beginning to mimic them without Christ. And the seven sons of Sceva take it upon themselves to perform an exorcism. They don't know Christ. And the person that was demon-possessed said to them, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? And he went and proceeded to beat them all up. The Bible's saying, don't play with these things. They are real. They're not, you know, the devil loves to make people think that it's not so bad. Are you kidding me? Everything in hell is so bad. It's and trying to make it sound, get you so familiar with it that you begin to say, what the beep, 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 because it's not really something that you're terrified of. But if you were terrified of something, you wouldn't be playing with it in your language like that. And so the Holy One of God, he says, knowing who Jesus is, they labor to blind others from finding out. That's why the world is blind, distracted, interested in anything except Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ. Verse 35, he says, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. What would have happened if Jesus just walked away? That would have been tragic. The demon was not allowed the last word. Jesus gets the last word. Now, something about these demonic beings, these spiritual entities, these disembodied spirits, is that they do not lack knowledge or belief in God. That's not faith. That's not trust. It's not a right relationship. Here, he did not hold back confession as to who Jesus is. We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. That tells us that repentance and pursuit of righteousness and obedience are necessary, just as necessary as belief and confession. It's not enough to believe. You must also trust. You must also submit. You must also love the Lord. Paul said, those that don't love the Lord, those that don't look for him to come back, let them be accursed. Anathema. You see, you can't tinker with Christianity because Christianity does not tinker with men. It gets right out, up in your face, with this whole sin thing, personally, one-on-one. That's why we get so frustrated when we can't do more for Christ, because we know the stakes are high and we're not up for it. But Christ makes us up for it. Enough! More than what we would ever have been had we quit. And so he says, be quiet and get out. Muzzle up in the Greek is the word be quiet, to muzzle. Literally, put a muzzle on it. And there we can't hear you talk, and we can't hear you, we can't see you try to bite. You can try, but it would just look dumb. No one ever needs to hear what Satan has to say. No one has ever, ever in the history of mankind been better off for hearing one jot or tittle come out of the mouth of hell. Not even a little bit. Now, this doesn't stop the recklessly curious and the gullible. They'll go for it anyway because they don't believe. Because they're not excited about what Jesus has said enough to be on guard. And so it is not fitting that the eternal state of the people witnessing this should be left supposing that the Lord was okay with what was happening here. And that's why he permitted these things to take place in front of them so that he could deal with them. He wasn't putting up an embassy in hell to say, hey, we're friends. He doesn't have to. He owns it all. You know, in the end, Satan does not get to rule hell. That would be a reward. He gets thrown into the abyss. He gets dealt with. Hell was made for him and the fallen angels, not for human beings, which adds to the shame of the human who is determined to go there. And so, again, some want to listen to what the devil has to say, his sick thoughts. Oftentimes, they're sophisticated. They call them theories and hypotheses and philosophies about whatever. If it's contrary to Scripture, it is about whatever, and that whatever will come up on judgment and not in your favor. And so in the house of God or anywhere, we will find people who listen to the voice of the devil and then want to integrate a thing or two from it. You got to pick a pocket or two, boy. Just a little leaven. That's all it takes to leaven the whole lump. Why can't Christians get this in their heads? I don't know. I'm one of the Christians that is on guard for these things. The false gospel of Thomas. You know, there are Christians that actually believe there's something in that worth listening to. This is where heresies come from. And Satan says, well, if you won't read that, then how about I give you a false voice in your head? Nothing else up there. Now, if you love the Lord, you're submitted to him, you don't have to fear any of these things. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You are strong. You are protected. Jeremiah the prophet, a little bit off course here. He says to God, you are stronger than I. But it was a complaint. So I can't stop this. You got me pastoring the people who are persecuting me. You are stronger. I've tried to resist. Remember that when you sing that song, you are stronger. And Jeremiah said, you know, I got a little view, a different view on that. But anyway, I love sport. If I believed in reincarnation, I'd come back as a rain cloud in search of a party or a picnic or something. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him. Again, this is permitted. That there might be evidence of the demonic possession. That this was not just a discussion of philosophies. Physical evidence right there in front of them. That hell is hostile and he's exposing this. There's nothing cute about this, he's saying to them. That it be made clear to them that that demon came out of that man against the demon's will. Because one mightier than the demon had shown up. And his name is Jesus Christ. At his command, it was done. He said, why doesn't he do this now? Well, we'll get to some of that in a little bit. There are good reasons why he doesn't do it now. In fact, when he did it then, there were good reasons
why he didn't have to do it, but there were those who looked and still stayed unbelievers, witnessing these things. Proof positive that witnessing a miracle is not enough to save a soul.
Something else must be involved.
Mark tells us that the demon cried out with a loud voice, an impotent, powerless expression of defeat, of anger, of suffering loss and humiliation.
They have feelings too, and they're all evil. He says it did not hurt him. The demon did not hurt the person that it was possessed as when Jesus threw him out. Now, Luke is a doctor. He's a physician. And this stood out to him. And so he makes this little note that he didn't hurt him. The Lord was there. We'll come back to this topic momentarily. Verse 36.
Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Oh, man. And then if I were there, I would have said, wow, I'll never have another problem again in life. He's got all the control. Life is going to be just, you know, hunky-dory from here on. What is hunky-dory, by the way? Does it come by the pound? But anyhow, is that not how many people have thought about the powers of Christ? If he can do anything, why doesn't he do it on my behalf? Why does he let me suffer? Why does he let me get sick? Why does he let people hate me? Why does he put me... Why?
Because there's a war to be fought. Life is a battleground, not a playground, as A.W. Tozier has said. Verse 37, and the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. I bet it did.
Well, I mean, what would you do if you witnessed this? You'd be, you know, on your little cell phone or something, just Facebooking it. And
verse 37, the report went out.
Which is seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. You can see something and not believe, yes, but you can believe in Christ, you see it all. You see everything. You see farther than anyone who cannot see what God has shown you.
And so God does not have to do miracles to validate himself.
Our faith is based on deeper things and higher things at the same time. And others have seen it and they have remained strong in Christ. Others have seen it and they have remained on the side of the devil.
You can't tell me those that lived in Jerusalem that caused the crucifixion, they knew these things were going on.
Many of them were witnesses. Many of them were witnesses over and over again. And they hated him nonetheless. Satan himself witnessed God creating the earth. You think these things would have been enough? Wickedness is insanity on its highest level. It doesn't make any sense. Trying to make sense out of crime is a waste of time. In the end, it comes back. It's sin. That's what it is.
Verse 38, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. Now, back to Capernaum, and I'm going to take a little personal time on this one.
The archaeologists have excavated the ancient fishing village of Capernaum, this very village that we're reading about right now. And on the very spot that the synagogue that Christ encountered the demon and cast him out, on that very footprint, the Jews have had built another synagogue, some 400, 500 years later. And the ruins of that synagogue are there today. So you go to Capernaum and you go to this, what's left of the synagogue. You can even go online, see some good pictures of it. And again, it's on the very spot, the same GPS. Now, what remains, what is around it are stone walls that once formed the village, the houses and the rooms, and you can see inside the rooms and things like that. In fact, in that synagogue, there's a little doorway. I have on the top of my head a mark that's probably never going to go away because I stepped into that doorway full speed and almost knocked myself out. Nobody knew it. You know, sunglasses, they just like, you can't see the eyes going around. They might have saw the stars and the little birdies going around. I was praying, Lord, I don't want to be knocked out in Israel in front of everybody. But who thought to put that door? My thing must be 4'1". It's just like you do.
So you look at these ruins and you see the footprint of the synagogue and all these houses, and you say, I'm looking out at where Peter lived. Now, of course, Rome has built this giant thing over. This was Peter's house.
What did they get? Find his junk mail with his address on it? How do you know that? There's no way to know that.
It's our prayer for each and every broadcast of Cross Reference Radio that you would grow in your relationship with Jesus. Perhaps after listening today, you'd like to visit us for one of our worship services here at Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. For driving directions and current service times, log on to crossreferenceradio.com and simply select the link to the church homepage. There you'll find all the information you need. This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio, the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Mechanicsville, Virginia. We invite you to join us again for another teaching through the Gospel of Luke with Pastor Rick. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.